Good morning, church.
Buenos dias, iglesia. Hey, man, it's good to be here again. I see we're all VBS'd up, ready for tonight. Spoiler, I'm playing the role of Paul tonight. I was considering wearing my Paul toga for the sermon, but nah, I think we'll wait till tonight for that. But looking forward to seeing how things go, and really, really impressive work this year. Really, really good work. So, but we'll hear more about that later on. But today, let's talk about John 14:6. John 14:6 is a verse that I go to very often because it's such an important verse. It's a very, very important verse. I go to it every single day. It's where Christ says very clearly in John 14:6, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." It's so clear, it's so beautiful, so direct. In a world in which people like to say everything's okay, Christ says no, he's the only way. There are so many other options, choices available. Christ says no, he's the only way to the Father. There are people who want to portray Christ as being not as strict as the Bible claims him to be, but here in his own words, he's saying, "No one comes to the Father except through me." And we as a church have to make sure we represent the same truths. And the first step is getting out of our way and getting into Christ's way. If you go to Luke chapter 9, verse 23, it talks more about how important it is to get into Christ's way and to put aside our way, because our way is just not good enough. Luke 9:23, and he was saying to them all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." In other words, denying what we want to do, denying our way, and adopting daily Christ's way. A daily cross. Every single day, putting upon ourselves what that cross means. That means the more we get out of our way, the more Christ can work in our lives. Indeed, Christ wants us so out of our way. There's another figure of speech implied in Luke 9:23 regarding the cross, but to get rid of the old self, to put aside the old self completely, to die. Make the old self die. Romans 6, verse 6 explains this very completely. He wants us gone. That old-fashioned, sinful way. The destructive way. The foolish way. Romans 6, 6. "Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we will no longer be slaves to sin." Please make no mistake, any way that is not Christ's way is a sinful way. There is no in-between gray area way. It is Christ's way, or it is not Christ's way. It is the way to heaven, or it is the way not to heaven. And as Christ said, every single day carry that cross. We are called to daily die. Daily carry, daily put aside our sins. Every single day. Because as we know, sins show up every single day. And when they show up, we can either do them or we can put them down, kill them on the spot if need be, not allowing them to survive. I read somewhere recently that we have to, every single day, put aside our desire to make ourselves matter too much. We got to put aside our desire to express ourselves too much, to express our sins too much, to want to be something separate and apart from God. Every single day, we have to make ourselves matter a bit less than what God matters in our lives. Because without Jesus, we might matter a little bit for a little while, but without Christ, we matter no more. But with Jesus, not only do we matter every single day through him, but we will live forever and ever with him. That's the promise of Christ. that if we follow his way, we will end up being where God is. And God right now is sitting in heaven. And we have to get out of our way because we ourselves by ourselves cannot make a church grow. We ourselves, by our own power, cannot make a church grow. We are not good enough. We are not smart enough. We are not cool enough. We're not strong enough. Nor are we enough for everyone. But Jesus Christ can make a church grow. John 12:32, he gives the simple solution for church growth. Obviously, there are more details in the actual practice. But sometimes in our practice, in our details, we forget the original plan of church growth. John 12:32 is very clear. Christ gives the solution. He says, If I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Draw all men to myself. If we promote Christ, lift him up above ourselves, people are attracted to Jesus. People automatically want to find the solution to the problem of their life. And if we tell people it is Jesus, people will come. People will be drawn to him. If we lift him up and not lift ourselves up, not lift our sins up, our desires up, if we lift up Christ, churches will grow. Because Christ is better than anybody. He is stronger than anybody. He is cooler than anybody. He is enough for everybody. John 16:33. John 16:33. More about the splendor of Christ as to why he is the only way. John 16:33. He's giving more comfort here. He says, these things I have spoken to you so that in me, in Christ, you may have peace. If we don't have peace, we get it from Christ. If we're today in turmoil, in drama, in strife, get it from Christ. He said these things that we can have peace in him. He says, in the world you got tribulation. In the world you have tribulation. But take courage, amen. I've overcome the world. There is nothing on this planet that Christ cannot solve. Totally overcome. Solution there. Problem solved. Romans 8:31. The whole chapter of Romans 8 is a power chapter. I know Glenn spoke about this chapter because it's just so full of powerful verses. Romans 8:31 is just one of them. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? Who is there? He continues on. I mean, he says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for all of us, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? He gave us his son. That means he'll give us everything else that we need. Lovely chapter, but it's not my focus tonight. Acts 9:1-2. Let's go to Acts 9:1-2. Since Christ is the way, a very faithful name of the church is the way. And we are called to mimic Jesus. And in that first century church, one identification for that church will be the way. It almost seems like they took literally the name of Christ, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and named their movement the way. Because if we are copying Christ and doing what Christ says, we also will be portraying the way. And so in Acts 9:1-2, it's interesting to me how it was known as such. Now Saul, before Saul became Paul, he was known as the evil murderous Saul. And now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asking for letters from him to synagogues at Damascus so that if he found anyone belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. The church was known among their names as the way. Because John says that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. In Latin, via, veritas, vita. So as a church, let's not block his way. Let's copy his way. He is the way. He's the way to get the church to grow. He's the way to show love for each other. He's the way to preach. He's the way to pray. He's the way to live. He's the way to evangelize. He's the way to do everything good and positive. Let's not block, therefore, his way. But when you read John 14:16, it goes beyond just the way. He's also the truth. We don't block his way. We don't hide his truth. Let's not also kill his life. But let's focus right now on his truth. We've already looked at why we should not block the way. But hiding the truth is also a problem that we can do. We as Christians can also hide the truth of the gospel, hide the truth of the word. There was a time when we only offended people if we said something in a harsh way, speaking in a rude fashion, and we lose friends, acquaintances, contacts. But today we are called as Christians to speak in a better way. Colossians 4:6 gives details about this, and if only that was a guarantee of successful discussion. But he says, as far as we can do, Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. And we know that we can speak truth in the prettiest way possible in today's society, and it will still offend people. We know this. We know that speaking the truth in the best way possible, we can still lose friends, acquaintances, contacts. And by the consequences of speaking the truth, we may be afraid of speaking the truth. We may be afraid of speaking about that narrow way that Christ establishes when he says he's the only way. It may be a hard thing to speak today because we know by speaking in such a way, we may lose our comfort zone, but nevertheless, the challenge is that we do not hide the truth. We don't hide it for the world. We don't hide it for our brethren. We speak the truth. We keep it real for everybody, even amongst the saints. It's hard to believe that in Galatians 4:16, Paul's talking to the brethren. Galatians 4:16, Paul found himself having to speak truth to a church he established, but nevertheless, because he kept it real, he found himself in difficulty at times. And so in Galatians 4:16, he says, have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? But Paul keeps on doing it. Paul keeps on speaking it because Paul recognized no matter what, he had to keep on speaking what is right. That's a hard verse to work with. That Paul found himself, though founding the church, in a situation in which he kept doing what he kept doing from the very beginning, but the people changed. But regardless, he kept doing it. Being truthful in all things, including the gospel. The truth of God's word being framed by a truthful lifestyle. I come to mind just now a verse in the book of Acts, which I never really heard about it until Doug brought it up on a Wednesday night. He says that repentance, Acts 26:20, I believe, coming to my head right now. Repentance is not just turning around, but living a life that shows that repentance. That's what truth is as well. Speaking truth, but also being framed by a lifestyle that is truthful. Integrity. Living in a truthful way when nobody's looking. And being truthful in even the very little things. Even the no big deal things, we should be truthful. Luke 16:10 is a very impressive verse about truth and faithfulness, words that go together. Luke 16:10. Luke 16:10, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Our souls are judged by the things that don't matter. I heard someone tell me one day, you know, it's just the internet. It's no big deal. It's just the internet. It's no big deal. Yes, it is. The Bible says we are faithful in even the things that are no big deal. in our judgment. If we are faithful and truthful where it is no big deal, God says we will be faithful and truthful where it is a big deal. It's a very powerful thing. If we are faithful where it is no big deal, we also won't be faithful. If we're not faithful where it's no big deal, we won't be faithful in things that we judge as a big deal. Truthful in all things. Don't hide his truth. Speak the truth. Even if we find ourselves in situations that we like and we love where we're at and we know by speaking truth, we might lose that situation. And we live in an area right now in which it might be wise to keep quiet about Jesus right now. We live in an area in which talking about Jesus all the time might not be beneficial towards our finance, towards our peers, towards our society. It's great living here, but we understand this. Wisdom, according to the world, would say, keep quiet about Christ. Keep quiet about him being the only way to heaven. But don't hide his truth. Don't hide his truth. We have all seen, if we are Christians, we have all seen what Christ has done in our lives. We have a record of how Christ has saved us over and over and over again. And we are called to simply bear witness to what we have seen. Really, we don't even have to talk much about the Bible per se, although we should at some point. We could talk about what Christ has done in our lives. Bearing witness to what we have seen. Let's give the world a true report about what we have seen through Christ. We need to speak the truth about what we've seen about Christ and not give a false report. I have been tempted at times, and I dare say perhaps guilty at times, of being in a situation in which I was asked about my faith, and I knew by expressing it, or I thought by expressing it, I would mess up the situation. What's amazing? It turns out that I've realized that in situations in which I think it'll go wrong, when I talk about Christ, it goes so much better. And I know it can go wrong one day, but it's amazing. I've been in situations now where I thought, man, if I bring up Christ now, Alex, what do you do, Alex? Well, I work with people. Didn't go too well. But now I say, I'm a minister. And it's amazing how I thought, oh, it's all over now. It's all over now. But no, it's pretty amazing how people, it is true. When Christ is lifted up, don't be surprised if people are drawn to that discussion. It is the truth. It is not a lie. People are looking for that answer. Don't be ashamed of talking about a Christianity, even in situations which you think it might not work out. And I must admit, I've been guilty at times of forgetting that promise. But we are called to bear witness to what we have seen Christ do. Look at Proverbs 19:9. Proverbs 19:9. We think this applies to the court of law, but I think it applies to our Christianity. It can. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will perish. If we don't talk about Jesus Christ in our lives, we're lying. If we talk about, if someone asks us, why are you so happy? And we give an answer outside of Christ in our lives, we're not speaking the truth. We're lying. We're being a false witness to what we have seen. Talk about it. Proverbs 21, 28. Proverbs 21, 28. A false witness will perish, but the man who listens to the truth will speak forever. Who's pleased the truth of God? Here's the truth of God. Speak it. Give it. Imagine if we were witness to an event that might save a person's life. All we got to do is talk about what we've seen. It will save somebody's life. But we know by speaking it, we might get in a bit of trouble ourselves. We may find ourselves uncomfortable. And so we have a choice. We can save somebody's life by speaking the truth, or we can keep quiet and save ourselves, so we think. And that's literally our job every single day. We know that the truth. We know that the gospel saves lives. Christ is the way. If we talk about Jesus, we might save lives. But too many Christians, for the sake of staying comfortable on this earth, are no longer speaking the truth. Let's speak His truth. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3. I go to Proverbs a lot. Proverbs is an underread book, in my opinion. But it's so wonderful. Proverbs 3:3, the art of speaking truth. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on a tablet of your heart. For the sake of kindness, some people don't speak truth. I want to keep things harmonious, so I won't say what happened. But some people speak truth, but don't care how it sounds. So the choice is, be kind or be truthful. The Bible says there's no choice. Be both. Be both. That's the expectation of Proverbs 3:3 or 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter 3:15 brings it all together for us here. 1 Peter 3:15 and sanctify Christ the Lord in your hearts. Make Him special to you. That's what it means. Make Christ really important to you. Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Why are you happy? Why are you at peace? Why are you solving your problems? What's happening here? Give an account. Be ready to do so, yet with gentleness and reverence. It's all combined. Don't block His way. Don't hide His truth. And finally, do not kill His life. Obviously, this is a figure of speech. You can't kill Jesus. It's just one thing we know in history. You can't kill Jesus. So you're not going to... This is a figure of speech. The life of Christ is enduring forever and ever. We have life through His life, but we can, in our own lives, kick Jesus out. We can kill the life of Jesus inside of us so that He does not exist in us anymore. We can actually choose to not want Christ in our lives. Therefore, the result is Christ not being there anymore. But look at this. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. And here you're going to see people who have diminished the power of God. But realize this, that in the last days, now, by the way, difficult times will come. And you're going to see all these things happen today. For men will be lovers of self. It's happening. Lovers of money. Yep. Boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents. Yep. Ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Yeah, this is just talking about today. Look what it says. But holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. It's possible to deny the power of God in our lives. Christ is not living in these men due to their evils, beginning with selfishness. Or 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7, more detail that we can actually diminish and get rid of God if we want to. And it's talking more about how husbands treat wives, but look at the expression here. It's alarming. It's actually possible to do this. It says, you husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, or your prayers will be hindered. It's actually possible to be in a situation in which our prayers don't work as well anymore because we're not doing what is right. Diminishing God's power in our life, destroying the life that we should be living by our sins. The life of Christ, the life Christ wants for us, can be hindered due to our lack of understanding as men, specifically. And I'm sure there are other ways to do so, but specifically here, we men can mess up in that regard. If we're not careful, if we're not understanding to our wives. Matthew 13:53. I mean, I want to guarantee whenever I pray, it works. I want to know when I pray is going to God. I can't imagine a situation in which my prayers don't even, as the minister said, don't even hit the ceiling. I cannot imagine that. But Matthew 13, beginning in verse 53, once again, watch how these people have squeezed out God's power in their life because of lack of faith. And this is Christ himself here. When Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there. He came to his hometown and began teaching them in their synagogue. So they were astonished and said, where did this man get his wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is not this a carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Well, Mary had plenty of children. Where then did this man get all these things? And he took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown and in his own household. And look at this. And he did not do miracles there because of their unbelief. Christ himself could not even operate there because their faith was not there. It was extinguished because of their lack of faith. So it is possible to push aside Christ. I show three examples where he is able to do so. He would not force himself upon us in our lives. It's hard to believe, but we can choose to deny, stop, and hinder the life of Christ amongst us. Even today, in our churches, we can kill the life in this church, the life of Christ, through selfishness, through lack of understanding, through lack of faith. That is the warning in Revelation chapter 3. There are all these churches here, seven churches, and there's a particular warning that we think may not be possible, but it is possible if we're not careful to follow what Christ says. In Revelation chapter 3, beginning of verse 14, look what it says here. The church in Laodicea, I'm not sure exactly what they were doing wrong, but look what it says. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write the Amen, the faithful. This is Christ talking himself, first person. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says, I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. It's amazing that because this church was not on fire for God anymore, or at least taking a firm stand on something, that seems to be the issue here. They're wishy-washy. They weren't clear about anything. They were afraid to stand true to what the Bible says, stand true to what they were taught. Because of that reason, they were acting in a way where Christ could not be around them anymore. Let us not fall for the situation. Let us not be that kind of church. Let's be the kind of church, the kind of way, the kind of body of Christ that we could be, that we are called to be. The powerful church that, if we lift up Christ, will draw all men unto himself. I was at a church one time where they refused to baptize somebody. That is not our job. We are called to baptize. We are called to give life. We are called to express the power of God. We are here to give the life that we have been given through Christ, to spread the gospel. And if we are not showing life, if we are not promoting life, if we are not expressing life, then why are we here? Do not block the life of Jesus. Healthy things grow automatically. Healthy things by itself, it remains healthy, will grow. It will produce first in maturity, then in number. If we allow Christ's life in this church, his life, it will grow. Let's not kill that life in this church by our own immaturities, by our own selfishness, by our own way. No, let's allow his way. Let's speak his truth, and let's live his life. The Bible says that to enter into that realm, to join Christ in this way, he invites us all to believe in him, to repent from the old way of life, and to be baptized in the name of Jesus. For those who have done so, let's pray that we may be encouraged and continue on that pathway. For those who have not, today is a wonderful day to be saved, to answer the call of salvation. Please think of these things as we stand and sing.